Well, good afternoon, and welcome to another edition of the Rise and Shine Global Ministry. My name is Daryl Hikes, and I will be your host for the next 29 minutes and 52 seconds. So I'm going to pray, and I got my guest, Angel Reyes, on the line. We're going to bring him in just a few minutes. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to bring him in, and we're just going to get right into it. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the opportunity of being able to spread your word and do this show. I thank you that as your word goes forth, that people have a heart to receive, and as they receive it, it makes a mark in their lives that can never, ever, ever be erased. And I thank you that today we just chop it up. We talk basketball. We talk life. We talk hardwood, you know, with the court and all that. And I'm just so grateful for your son, Jesus Christ, who gives us the opportunity to do these things. And it's in the wonderful, mighty, majestic, awesome, glorious name of Jesus that we pray. And if you heard the prayer and you agree with it, then just say amen. All right, let me see if I got my guy here. Hey, what's going on, young fella?
How you doing, Darryl? How's everything?
I'm good, man. So, all right, here's how we're going to do this. State your name, where you were born, and then we'll go from there. Sound like you're in the gym, man.
Yes, I'm walking out right now because I can't hear you.
What's that?
Yes, you say you want me to say my name and what else?
Yeah, just state your name and then where you were born and then we'll go from there.
Perfect. My name is Angel Reyes. I was born in New York City, New York.
Okay, so Angel, now what's the, I noticed on your social media, like Instagram, it says Angel Reyes, and it says M-U-N-I-Z. What's that about?
Yes. That's my mom's last name.
Okay. Okay. Now you stated that you were born in New York City. However, how do you have a, it's to my understanding you have a tie to Mexico.
Yes. Well, my family is from Mexico.
Okay. So, you were born in New York City. Okay. Okay.
Yes, I was born in New York.
Okay. Okay. Well, that being the case, explain to me how you're able to play for the we'll go ahead and explain about the Mexico national team.
Well, the Mexican national team is a country of Mexico, and I was invited to go play for them, the collegiate team, and it was a blessing to represent my country.
Okay. So Mexico has a collegiate national team. Well, what are some of the different, do they play against, or do you all play against different countries, or do you play just within the country of Mexico?
So the goal is to go to the Olympics, the University Olympics, and so far I was a part of the first open window of the Mexican national team. So we got to play against different teams from all over the place.
Wow. So that means your game must be tight like that.
Oh, man. Well, yes, it is. I say that confidently.
All right, yeah. There you go. You know, there's nothing wrong with being confident in your game without being arrogant as to how you express it. You know, I played ball in high school. Never played college ball, which was, you know, was always a goal. It was something I wanted to do. However, okay, wait a minute. So let's see. New York City, you went, the name of the high school you went to, Norman Thomas High School, is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. Tell me about your high school basketball career and if you played any other sports.
I grew up playing soccer. Soccer was like my first sport, and then I transitioned to basketball.
So, soccer. What was your position? Were you the goalie? Were you, a lineman? What? Talk to me.
I was a midfield center, and what a midfield center does is he controls the tempo, he controls the game. Basically, the ball goes through him, and it is just like if I was playing basketball, what a point guard is. So that was my job in the field, in the soccer field.
Okay, and my bad. I said lineman. I'm not even sure if soccer has linemen. I was just I played soccer as a kid, but I'm always like I was a guy who I pretty much is it called dribbling in soccer? I believe it is, because I was always the guy you know I could get the ball up field pretty quick, and I guess our positions when I was that age, because I mean I don't know, maybe they did, maybe they didn't. I was just the guy who. If the ball was close by, I had it. I'll just put it like that. And so all you played was soccer. So your footwork must be pretty good then, translating over to basketball.
That
because,
is right.
You know, guys like Hakeem Olajuwon. I mean, I've seen Steph, you know, messing around with the soccer ball. Kobe was a good soccer player, from my understanding. And I guess it just makes your footwork pretty good. So soccer, you started out playing soccer. But then you transitioned to basketball. Kind of tell us what happened. How'd that take place?
Well, I grew up playing soccer my whole life. I was still playing basketball. Was not as committed as I am now to basketball. But I grew up playing soccer, and that would be every day training. But once I turned 13 or 14, my mom and my father got divorced. And we went to go live somewhere else, my mom and my family, and then I started picking up the basketball, and I ended up making the 8th grade of varsity team, and from there I just took it serious.
Okay. And so with that, you know, and hey man, you know, divorces can be tough, but it sounds like you you know, you kind of did what you had to do as a kid. I guess you're going to do what you got to do. And tell me about your family dynamics. You know, you got mom. Do you have, you know, what about grandma, grandpa, sisters, brothers, uncles, aunts? You know, tell me about your family makeup.
Well, after the divorce between my parents happened, you know, my mom's family really took his side. And not to go deep into it, you know what I mean, because it's still family, but I took, you know, it was just ever since then it still is just me, my mom, and my siblings. And
okay, how many siblings we talk?
I have two siblings.
Okay, boy, girl, you know, two sisters, two brothers.
Yeah, two sisters. Yes.
Okay, older or younger?
Younger. I'm the oldest in the and the kids. Yes.
Okay, so you got to look out for your little sister then, basically.
That is correct, yes, indeed. I'm the role model.
I got you. Okay, I got you. All right, so family dynamics, you know, you're 13. You just made your middle school basketball team. How does basketball, like, evolve or take off from there in your life?
Well, that became an everyday thing. You know, everything surrounds me with basketball. Everything I do is basketball. Whether I'm going to go work out, whether I'm going to go watch a game, whether I'm going to go basketball practice, whether I'm talking to my mom about basketball, it all surrounds me. You know, I listen to podcasts, a basketball podcast. I watch film. So that's the everyday thing.
So wait, so you 13 years old watching film?
At the age of 13, I wasn't. Well, back then I'm not as knowledgeable as I am now, so I say film, but in fact, back then I was just watching highlights.
Okay.
Not
so
really
you're watching highlights.
How the way I, not really studying
so
the game, I'll study it now.
Okay, I got you. So it sounds like you were kind of like me, to where I'd watch I grew up in the Jordan era. So I'm watching the Lakers, Boston, I'm watching Detroit, Chicago, Utah, the Mavericks. And so what I would do is I'd watch a game. Let's say the Lakers and Boston are playing, and Larry Bird drops like 35. Well, then I go outside to shooting like Bird because I want to perfect that shot. Or, you know, Jordan with the tongue out. All right, now I got to work on my hops. So now I got to get a vertical sky jump program or something, to where, you know, I got to have hops so I can dunk like Jordan. or I want to be able to shoot the three. So were you the kind of kid that kind of, not kind of, but you would look at a game or look at highlights and then you would implement that into, make that a part of your game?
Yes, that is correct. And I grew up watching Kyrie Irving. I grew up watching Kyrie, and then it was just a thing of, let me go work on whatever he does in the game. That's why my handles are impeccable. My ball handling skills are impeccable. Out of his nature.
No, go ahead. Okay.
And so,
go ahead.
And so just like just watching Kyrie and then doing it in the basketball park, you know, transitioned to me the way I am now, because it all translated from what I was doing by just spinning the basketball. What Kyrie used to do and spinning the basketball back then, I would do it as well. So it all translated to me now.
Okay, so basically, is Kyrie that's your guy? That's your number one player?
Now that's my second player. My best player after I realized that I'm not going to be Kyrie is Chris Paul. I study him. That's my role model. That's the guy I look up to. Try to be like him. Try to be myself, most importantly, but you know, on the court. And so.
Okay. So, you had an epiphany where you were not going to be like Kyrie. What happened? I mean, what made you? Did you decide I'm just not going to be like Kyrie, or you just did something happen?
Well, my mentor, Coach Victor Ricky Hall, came in my life, and he told me, you know, like, let's be realistic. Kyrie is quick. He's a little bit 6'4", 6'3". The shifty guard. You're more of a passer. You're more of a IQ point guard, a pass first point guard. Kyrie is a bucket getter. And so that's when I realized, I'm like, okay, what does Chris Paul do? And then once I started seeing him, I'm like, I do the same thing that he does. You know, passes the ball, does what a real point guard does. So once I transitioned to that, I feel like my game got better. And everything that I do as a point guard.
Okay. So when did you discover that the point guard was probably the best position for you?
Going into my junior year of high school, I believe. Well, I always knew I was a point guard, but, like, I just realized that I wasn't going to be like a Kyrie Irving type of point guard, because I'm not as quick as Kyrie. I'm more of a Chris Paul player. I'm more of a slow down the pace, slow down the ball, bring up the ball, run the set plays. That's what I'm best at, passing the ball. That's what I'm best at doing, running plays. That's my kind of game.
Okay. So then, all right, you're eighth grade. Talk to me about your ninth grade, 10th grade, because you mentioned your 11th grade year in high school, but from eighth grade up to 11th grade, were you like dropping 30 a game? Were you getting 20 assists? You know, what was going on?
Well, throughout 8th to 11th grade, that was actually the year that I was gone, because came into freshman year of high school, I was coming off of JV. Sophomore year, I was going to be a starter. I was going to be on the varsity team. But then something that changed my life happened, and I broke my kneecap, and that changed my whole life, because I was very immature. School was not being taken serious. We're talking back in sophomore high school. And it just changed my life completely. Because if that didn't happen, I would not be here talking to you.
Wow, okay. So what happened, though, if you don't mind me, you know, if you don't mind sharing the details?
Well, like I said, I was at varsity tryouts, because I was going to play my sophomore year varsity. As I'm going up for a layup, some kid comes from behind and jumps for me, and then I land on my leg in an awkward position, which made me break my kneecap.
Okay.
And
how
I was
long
also
was
out of shape. I was. My recovery was about 6 months. No, 6 months to about six to 7 months.
Okay. Wow. So that must have been mentally, that must have been tough to not be able to get out there and play at a high level for 6 to 7 months. So what did you do in the meantime?
And more so it was – and I'm sorry to cut you off.
No, no, you're good.
And more so it affected me mentally in the fact of confidence and traumatized going in the court and just playing basketball because I was trapped that in my head, like, I'm going to get hurt. So I got to be careful.
Okay, wow, that's tough. Okay, so, all right, you make your recovery, you come back, 11th grade year. So let's talk about your junior year and then your senior year in high school. What was your record? Did you guys go make state championship game? Did you win a state championship? You know, kind of tell us what went on.
My junior year, I don't think we made it far my junior year. But my senior year, we was able to go to the first round, and we lost in the first round. That really hurt because, you know, high school, wouldn't be able to go far, but couldn't do it.
Okay. Were they a better team, or you guys just didn't do what you needed to do?
I think they were a better team.
And that's the part about sports to where sometimes people are, you know, they try to cover it up and say, well, you know, we just didn't do what we need to do. At the end of the day, they have more points, which made them the better team. Because, I mean, you know, we can – a lot of times we can do woulda, shoulda, coulda, but at the end of the day, they got more points. They won the game, so they must have done something better than the team that didn't do what they needed to do. All right, so your senior year, you – graduate, what was your GPA like? Because there might be guys listening right now or ladies that may be listening that, you know, I heard you mention you didn't take school seriously, you know, before you messed up your kneecap. And how do academics and sports, you know, how do you balance it out? Which one is more important?
I'm sorry, you cut off. Can you say that again?
Yeah, when it comes to academics and sports, how do you balance it out? Because you mentioned that, you know, you didn't take school seriously, which when I was in high school, I didn't either. I did just enough to play, but then, you know, other than that, I was all I wanted to do was play sports. That was it. I really could care less about the academic part.
Well, you balance it out by, you know, just making sure you time management. You know what I mean? Prioritize making sure you submit your homework on time, and you also continue to do your practice, basketball practice, and it's really much of time management.
Okay, I like that. That is so true. And you know, and that not just with sports and in high school, that translates over into life also, because when it comes to working a job, and you know, if people start getting families and you know, you have to be able to balance that time to where you got to be able to get out there and make things happen in a lot of different areas. You got to wear a lot of different hats. And so time management, I definitely agree with that. Okay, you graduate high school, and it's to my understanding you go to college. Did you go to college on a scholarship, or were you a walk-on, or kind of tell us about that transition from high school sports to college sports?
Well, I ended up going to Schenectady Community College my first year, Division III school. I chose that school because it was more so of knowledge and needing to learn things at the game of basketball. And so that year that I played at that school, it was like a year of growth. I've learned so much as a basketball point guard and as a college collegiate player that has got me here. And I was really thankful for my year at Schenectady.
Okay, so you go to a D3. Now, D3, they don't offer scholarships, do they?
No, they do not, no.
Okay, so this is out of pocket.
Thankfully, I got an academic scholarship.
Okay, so you did take care of the grades.
Yes.
All right. Well, what was your GPA coming out of high school?
About 3.5.
All right. So you're handling your business. Okay. So you go – you had the D3 school. You say it was a year of growth. How was it on the court, though, as far as your record?
That year, it was a tough year because we lost a lot of games. That year, that unit, that crew was it was a really tough crew. We battled a lot. But it just came down to just playing basketball, and sometimes we were robots.
What do you mean by that?
A lot of times, you know, we would run an offense that would just be five out motion, and sometimes we would just freeze and just, like, not play basketball, not be free. And that sometimes affected us.
Gotcha. Okay. And you know, that's the reality of playing sports. One of the things that, as a coach myself, and I have a actual post-grad type prep school to where I have guys that have graduated high school, and they're just looking to play ball beyond their high school career. And one of the things I do is figure it out on the court. You know, if a team goes on a 15-0 run, I'm not calling the timeout to, so to speak, as they say, stop the run. You know, my thing is, you got to figure it out, and you got to figure it out on the court because I'm not on the court. And my thing, and the way I look at it is, if you can't figure it out in the game, me calling a timeout and then telling you what to do, I'm limited. So my guys, they figure it out, or you get blown out by 30. I mean, it's one of those things where everybody's an adult, and you got to do what you got to do. And I've seen my guys grow and really be successful in that arena. All right, so are you currently at this D3 school now, or tell me what's happened?
Well, after that happened, after I finished my year at that school, COVID happened, and then financial situations at home had to happen, and I ended up transferring to a Division II school. I ended up getting recruited to Rockland Community College.
Okay.
And so that's where I'm currently at right now.
Okay. Liberal arts. Okay. So what are your career plans beyond basketball?
I want to be in the game as an agent, as a coach, you know, just being in the game of basketball, whether it's business wise or a coach, you know, just as a manager, whatever it is.
Okay. So what are your aspirations as far as basketball itself is concerned? I mean, do you want to play in the NBA? Do you want to play overseas? You know, or do you just want to play in college and say, hey, look, I played in college?
Well, God willing, you know, the goal is to go pro first, finish college first. My goal for the next year is to go Division I. I have a couple schools in mind, and hopefully if God is willing, I get to accomplish those goals. And after that, I'm looking to go pro, whether it's play overseas, whether it's the NBA, G League, or Mexico, wherever it hits. You know, we have to start somewhere and then just start from there and keep going from there. And so stay ready for the opportunity to come.
I like it. So we got about a little less than six. We're coming up on about a 6 minute mark. I just want to talk about two things. The invitation you received to the Mexico National Collegiate Team, from my understanding, kind of tell me what happened with that. How did that come about?
That went really good. We're just waiting to see back if I'm going to get an invite for the Olympics. Hopefully I do. But it was an amazing experience. Shout out to Coach Aragon. Jesus Aragon, one of the best coaches I've been coached by. He's one of the coaches that I think should be at the big league because of his tenacity, his heart, his power that he has, the way he thinks as a coach, even a better human being person outside of the court. I was very grateful to be coached by him, and especially with the Mexican national team. It's an honor, and, you know, to represent your country, it's truly a blessing.
How did they find, I mean, what happened? They just they were just thumbing through the phone book or something? You know, that's, I know they don't have phone books now, but I'm just saying. How did they come across?
Right. Well, through all, you know, social media and stuff like that, you know, they don't hear a Mexican basketball player born in New York playing basketball at the collegiate level. So we've been in contact and just ready for the right moment, and it happened. So they reached out and then got the official letter from the Mexican government that I was invited to play for the Mexican national team, and then it was on.
It sounds like it. That's big. That's big. I mean, did you what would you have? Okay, you guys were playing. Where were you playing? Like, was it just locally in Mexico,
We were in Texas first, then we ended up going to New Mexico, and then lastly ended up in Arizona.
Oh, okay. So you were getting averaging about like, I know you're averaging double double, which is getting 30 and 15, 30 points, 15 assists.
Well, it was an eye opener for me because I wasn't really averaging that much, but we were definitely you know, just getting to know my teammates and just getting buckets whenever it was needed. We ran set plays, so, you know, I was getting more of involving my teammates and stuff like that and passing the ball. And so that's how it went for me. And it was just an eye-opener, you know, to expand my game and learning a lot because that team was kind of like a pro team, and it just opened my eyes on to see how pro teams are and how hard they work and how professional they are when it comes to the game of basketball. The way they play.
Now, last thing with about three and a half minutes left. Talk to me about your faith in Christ, man, because that's one of the things that, you know, connected us is the fact that, you know, you're a very vocal Christian, in my opinion. So kind of talk to me about Yeah.
If it wasn't for God, I would not be here, most importantly.
Why do you say
if it
that?
Wasn't for God, I would not be here. If it wasn't for God, I would not be here. Like, just He's the one that wakes me up in the morning. The universe, my angels, my ancestors, most importantly, God, man, guides me. My intuition, and the guidance that He has for me, the plan that He has for me, is greater than what I have, than what I think, and He knows what I want, and He knows what's best for me.
I like it. So, did you grow up in a home where God was talked about a lot, and, you know, or
yes.
Was it something that just kind of happened over a period of time?
No, we grew up in the house, man. God, home.
So moms weren't playing, basically.
That's right. Mom doesn't play.
Okay, so you gonna meet Jesus, or are you gonna? That was so. Moms was okay. So moms is just doing upward. I like that. I like that, And definitely, man, you know, after the interview, tell your mom thank you for the opportunity to be able to interview, talk to you and everything. I mean, it's been just such an honor. Because, you know, you sound like a young man that's, you know, you got things that you have focus, you have direction, and there's things that you want to get accomplished in your life in the area of sports and just life in general. And I'm just want to say I'm super proud of you, man. You're going to go a lot of different places So with that, the interview part is over. I'm just going to give a quick altar call to where if anybody wants to be listening, you know, they've never met Jesus, I'm going to extend an invitation, then we're going to go from there. But, hey, man, I appreciate having you on, okay?
Thank you so much. Thank you for your time. Thank you for allowing me to be a part of your podcast, and it's an honor. Grateful to talk to you.
Yeah, all right. All right, man. Hey, I appreciate you. See you later another time, all right?
Bye-bye.
All right, man. All right. Hey, this is Darryl. Hey, if you've never met Jesus, and that was a pretty cool interview. That's a good young brother. But if you've never met Jesus, here's the thing. Repeat this after me. Heavenly Father, today I want Jesus to be a part of my life. I believe that He died on the cross for my sins. I believe You raised Him from the dead. So I've confessed with my mouth that I want Jesus to be my Lord. And I believe in my heart that You raised Him from the dead. And as a result of what I just said, according to Your word, I'm saved. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. So, Father, I'm glad to be a part of the family. Show me how to live this Christian life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hey, thank you for tuning in. I pray you got something out of this. Till next time.